Today is the Feast of the Holy Name of Jesus. The Epistle for the Mass today is taken from the Acts of the Apostles. In those days, Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said to them, "Ye princes of the people and ancients here, if we this day are examined concerning the good deed done to the infirm man, by what means he hath been made whole, be it known to you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God hath raised from the dead, even by him this man standeth here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you, the builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given to men whereby we must be saved." The Gospel for the Mass today is taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 2. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. At that time, after 8 days' work accomplished, the child should be circumcised. His name was called Jesus, which was called by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Those are the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. Today, on this feast of the Holy Name of Jesus, we celebrate the name of our Lord, and of course, need to think about it, and think about then in general also the words that we use, whether it be written word or spoken word. We know that this name of our Lord is very powerful. In the Old Testament, the name of God was not even spoken. It was held in such reverence. We see that, you know, in the times of the apostles, they used, it was in the name of our Lord, in the name of Jesus, that they healed those who were infirmed. It's also true that in many of our invocations, we use the name of our Lord. Many of our prayers end with "Per Dominum Nostrum Iesum Christum Fidium Tuum," through the name of Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we ask, indicating the power that we attribute to asking for things in His name. Our Lord Himself said to the apostles, "Before this, you have never asked for anything in My name. If you ask in My name, I will grant it to you." Thus, the power of this name of Jesus. It is important for us also to remember then, too, the power and the value of what we say. It's very important. It's very much forgotten today. You know, it's also very true that it is by certain words that we come to have certain things. Certain things are available to us only at the use of certain words. For instance, during Mass, at the consecration of the Mass, it is the words of the priest that brings down God upon the altar. God comes down on the altar at the beckoning of the priest through the words of the consecration. It is also through the words of the priest used when he is in the confessional that people's sins are forgiven. You're absolved from your sins. The use of words is very important. Value of words is very important. It's also interesting to note, too, when it is difficult to communicate, when there is difficulty in communicating, the value of the words seem to also be of increased worth. Think, for instance, in former times when the written word was difficult to be transmitted, where it required a person to write with a fountain pen everything that was going to be transcribed or duplicated. It was very valuable what was said and written. It was in the early church where the manuscripts, the sacred manuscripts, were such that they had to be copied by hand. And there was a great persecution of the church. If anyone was caught handing over the sacred manuscripts that were transcribed, they would be excommunicated from the church. The only thing that they could do was that the excommunication was so serious that the only thing they could do and hope for was that on their deathbed they would be absolved from that excommunication. That's how serious it was to hand over documents, to hand over the manuscripts that were treasured by the church. It's also true that in the 15th century, when the printing press was first invented, the first book that was duplicated was the Sacred Scriptures. Again, showing the value of the written word, how much it was treasured. Even more recently, you know, when people were trying to communicate one to another, they'd use a telegram. Each word was counted. And you thought about things before you communicated what you were going to say. And what you were going to say, you was communicated. Even in times where you were writing a letter, and of course that the value of writing a letter seems to be almost antiquated, it was obsolete these days. But when you were sending a letter and it was going to go overseas, you would get the thinnest paper possible with special paper. And it was very thin indeed, and you tried to think about what you were going to say so that it was a minimal weight, because it had to be such that it had to be sent overseas, and it was the cost of sending it was based upon the weight of the letter. Again, a very conscious effort on the part of the person who wrote it, what he was going to say, how he was going to address the person who he was writing to. The value of words is something that we very much underestimate. Today, people can communicate with a lot more facility, a lot more ease. And unfortunately, what is communicated, unfortunately, then the quality of what is transmitted is oftentimes compromised. People seem to want to communicate anything and everything, to the point where the more that one communicates, the less he has to say. And the manner in which he communicates it has less and less value, carriage. It's said in ways that are not very noble. Think about the way people speak, the way they write. The way they write today would be, if they took it to their teacher of composition, they would not get a passing grade. They email, text, instant message, all these things with terrible grammar, words that are made up, words that are abbreviated in such ways that it's just, you look at it and say, what is this? And as I say, the value of what's being said also starts to degrade as well, to the point where someone blathers on all day long and what he says is not even considered very seriously because the verbiage comes out almost in a continuous fashion. It's been said that if you were to attach a recording device, a tape recorder, whatever it is, whatever they do today, an audio recorder, and if you played it for 24 hours, recorded for 24 hours, and then you played it back, you know, sit down in front of everybody else, maybe in your family, and you sit down and just have everybody listen to it, you would crawl underneath the table. You would make a vow of silence because of what you're saying. It's unfortunately it's something that we do. We speak, and sometimes people want to speak endlessly, and the value then of what they say is not taken very seriously. What we say means something. What we say to others and about others means something. There are many sins of the tongue that occur because people don't think about what they say, or they think about it and they choose to lower themselves when the idea of communicating to one another is meant to be such that it's supposed to elevate one another. The whole transmission of the faith, in large part, comes from the spoken word. It's what you're listening to right now. It's unfortunately compromised by people who want to speak in such ways that, unfortunately, rather than ennobling, they act to make people less noble. And unfortunately, not only are there many blasphemies, and of course in those blasphemies, they make sure that they use the right words. For example, you know, when someone is mad and angry, you never hear them say, "O Buddha," or "O Muhammad." They use the right words. Somehow, in circles, it's thought to somehow make one a man by the use of coarse words, vulgar words, blasphemous words. It's, quote-unquote, to use a proper expression, cool. It's not. The fact of the matter, it's not. It shows a lack of control, lack of control of one's passions, one's emotions. It shows that there's a lack of control of the words that one wants to express, or one wants to express words that show that he has no control of himself. Shows he has a very poor vocabulary. And unfortunately, in today's world, the bad language, the vulgar language, the coarse language, as well as the problems of blasphemy, are quite prevalent. It's as if each sentence needs to be punctuated with vulgar language. It's sad. It's sad indeed. The fact of the matter is that we are human beings that have a rational nature. We're meant to use words in order to convey intellectual thought. It's meant to be such that we communicate our needs, our ideas, which are meant to be such that they're meant to be uplifting to one another, to be encouraging to one another, to express our needs so that someone can help us if we are in need. It's the way God, which gave us this talent and this ability, this faculty, in order to help to communicate, to unify our one with another, so that we're able to convey certain ideas, certain intellectual thoughts, one to another. We have to realize that this is something that's not to be abused, something that's not to be used lightly. We need to think before we speak. We need to have a deliberation before we speak. If we don't, we end up being such that we are held accountable for things that we say, and we don't even give much thought. And the fact that we don't think about these things is a problem. In the scripture, our Lord himself says that we will have to render account for every idle word. And so the fact of the matter is that we can speak more easily, we can communicate more easily, we have mechanisms to do that we can write and communicate more easily, it requires of us an increased care and a deliberation so that we can use these tools properly. It's important that we think about these things, and of course on this day, which we think about the holy name of Jesus, we realize that there's a value to his name, it's a name higher than any other, and that we need to use our words that refer to God, to refer to the things that we need to communicate to one another as well, that we need to use them in a way which is fitting, which is appropriate, which is according to our rational nature that we have. We are not brute animals. We are not people who just, you know, want to express base ideas and base concepts, and they are such that we lead others astray by so doing. And so let us try to reflect upon this. Let's try to resolve to use our language proper, use the gift of speech in a proper way, so that we can be such that we use it for the honor of God, that we use it for the edification of our neighbor, that we use it in the way that God intends it for us to use it, so that we don't abuse the gifts of God and use it for our destruction. So let us ask him to help us. Let's ask us to have that wisdom and that deliberation that's necessary in order to please God in all things, in what we speak and as well as what we do. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.